You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Lyme disease. The Centers for Disease Control call it the fastest growing vector-borne disease in the United States, with an estimated 300,000 new cases each year. And yet, tests for the infection are error-prone, and we do not have a vaccine. However, there is a vaccine under development. It's been fast-tracked by the FDA, and the developer recently announced successful Phase 1 clinical trials. So is a Lyme vaccine on the way? Dr. Stanley Plotkin is an emeritus professor of the University of Pennsylvania, adjunct professor of the Johns Hopkins University, and he serves as a consultant to vaccine manufacturers. He also developed the rubella vaccine and is the lead author of Plotkin's Vaccines, the medical handbook that is now in its seventh edition. In recent years, he's been a vocal advocate for a vaccine for Lyme disease. Welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thank you.
Before we get into Lyme disease vaccine specifics, you are a consultant to vaccine developers. Are you involved in any way in the development of the Lyme vaccine?
I have absolutely no financial conflict of interest. In point of fact, I don't accept consultant fees from the Lyme disease manufacturer or developer because I don't wish to be perceived as having a conflict of interest.
Thank you for that. There was a vaccine developed in the mid-1990s. It was released. It was then pulled from the market a few years later. Can you just go through that history a little bit? What happened to that Lyme vaccine?
Well, first of all, it was effective. It was somewhere around 80% protective. So it was a valid and valuable vaccine. But several things resulted in its being taken off the market. One was the rather weak recommendations from the Centers for Disease Control, which I can say, I think factually, that at that point they did not appreciate how much Lyme disease there is in the U.S. They now estimate something like 300,000 cases a year. But they did not have those data at that time, and therefore, as I said, they were not enthusiastic about the vaccine. So that was a problem in terms of vaccine use. And the second problem was that the manufacturer tried to advertise directly to patients, which I understand, but in fact, as with most things, it's the recommendations of physicians that determine whether people accept a vaccine, and they did not do a very good job about educating physicians. I should add that, as usual in this country, lawyers got involved, and there were suits against the manufacturer for the supposed reactions to the vaccine. So all of those things induce the manufacturer to take it off the market.
You say supposed reactions. There were class action lawsuits, as you were referring to.
Yes.
But were those potential risks or perceived risks of that original vaccine ever borne out?
No. Of course, the situation was studied by the FDA and by other governmental organizations and by scientists. And there was never any real evidence that the vaccine was causing disease. To complicate matters, there was an hypothesis raised about a particular part of the vaccine that turned out not to be true. But it was, as the cliche goes, a perfect storm of opposition to the vaccine that resulted in its demise.
That was more than 15 years ago that it was pulled from the market, 2002.
Yes.
And we've seen Lyme disease prevalence just increase and increase. I mean, at this point in time, it's almost hard to believe that you could make an argument for a lack of demand for a Lyme vaccine because there's so much concern about Lyme disease, especially in New England and certain parts of the country where it is so prevalent. But we haven't seen another vaccine developer step in until extremely recently. Is there something inherently difficult about Lyme disease in terms of vaccine development, or is it this, political and legal history, perhaps, that has deterred other developers?
Well, I think it boils down to two things. One is, as you just said, the political and legal history. I mean, vaccine development is expensive. And then there's the time factor. Again, it's maybe not generally appreciated that 15 years is not unusual for vaccines to go from the laboratory to licensure. The current candidate is from a company based in Vienna. And that is important because Lyme disease occurs in Europe. The latest estimates are running somewhere around 200,000 annual cases.
Well, that's almost as much as we see here in the United States.
Right. And particularly in Central Europe, that is Germany, Austria, Slovenia, but spreading to France and to the Netherlands, and also, I should say, very prevalent in Sweden. So it's not surprising that a European company would be interested in a Lyme disease vaccine. And the candidate that they've developed would, in principle, prevent disease both in Europe and the U.S.
I'm talking with vaccine expert and consultant Stanley Plotkin about the prospects of a Lyme disease vaccine. So where does this new candidate vaccine, it's being developed by a company called Valneva, which I think you already mentioned, where does that stand in the testing process?
As you may know, we talk about phases of vaccine development, the preclinical phase in the laboratory, and then phases 1, 2, and 3. Phase 1 being the first human testing, they have gone through that. So they are past phase 1, and they plan to enter phase 2. Phase 2 is essentially a kind of validation phase in larger numbers of subjects before phase 3, which is the actual test of the vaccine's safety and efficacy in large numbers of people.
So what have we learned from phase 1 so far?
Well, what we've learned is that there are immune responses that in principle should be protective. But with this particular vaccine, we don't yet have the evidence that it is protective, although I'm reasonably optimistic.
I mean, the developer in announcing the preliminary or interim phase 1 results said this vaccine is 71 to 96% effective. Would you say that's a fair statement or an overstatement of what we know at this point?
Well, I think it's an overstatement in the sense that they're basing that statement on the antibodies that were measured in the phase 1 trial, which may well correlate with efficacy, but that's an assumption. I don't think one can infer much from the phase 1 data except that, in principle, the vaccine is doing what you hope it will do.
So based on where we are at this point, with phase 2 and phase 3 still ahead, how optimistic should we be, and how long a process are we still looking at?
As far as how optimistic we should be, I would say cautiously optimistic. Unfortunately, I would not expect a vaccine, I would say, between 3 to 5 years from now. I hope I'm wrong.
The FDA has fast-tracked this vaccine. What does that do to the timeline?
Well, it clearly shortens it, and I think the FDA realizes the need for a Lyme vaccine, and so they will do their best to collaborate with the company in moving things along. Your listeners could help by writing essentially to the FDA or to the Health and Human Services saying that they want a vaccine.
Lyme is just one of several tick-borne illnesses. Why is a vaccine, even if it covers all of the different forms of Borrelia, of Lyme, why is a vaccine, in your mind, the right way to go as opposed to some other way of controlling tick-borne illnesses more broadly?
Well, I'm not against other ways of controlling tick-borne illnesses. And indeed, as you say, there are other organisms like Ehrlichiosis, anaplasmosis, but the incidence of Lyme is much higher than those diseases. Point number one. Point number two is that we don't yet have good ways to control the other diseases or ticks in general, whereas we know that a Lyme disease vaccine can work. That's the thing that's very bothersome, that, so to speak, wakes me up at night. That is that we know we can make a vaccine, but it doesn't exist.
Stanley Plotkin is an emeritus professor of the University of Pennsylvania, adjunct professor of the Johns Hopkins University, lead author of Plotkin's Vaccines, and a private vaccine consultant. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're very, very welcome.
Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.